Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
All right, welcome back to hour number three of the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams here joining you from the Brighteon Studios in Central Texas. And we're going to have UN Weapons Inspector, former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter joining us here in just about 5 minutes. In the meantime, I want to show you something that not a lot of people are aware of, but there has been a proposed canal called the Ben-Gurion Canal that would give Israel a waterway connecting the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea. And if our producers could show that photo, I want to show you where this is planned for the construction. It turns out that the pathway of this canal, which would be about 200 kilometers long, which competes with the Suez Canal, that it terminates near the Mediterranean Sea right at the northern tip of what is currently the Gaza Strip. And that's the part that is currently being bombed and bulldozed and leveled by Israel. And many analysts believe that this is to make way for the construction of this canal. It's at least one factor that we should consider. I'm not saying it's the only explanation of what's happening. There are obviously many complex factors involved here. But this canal, should it be constructed, would result in at least $10 billion a year in revenue for Israel. But most importantly, this canal would put Israel, and therefore the United States, in a position of controlling a key waterway choke point. Yeah, look at that image right there, satellite image. If you look at the water in the bottom of your frame there, that's the Red Sea. And if you look at the two rabbit ears of waterways, the one on the left goes up to the Suez Canal, controlled by Egypt. The one on the right, that terminates at the very tip of Israel, and that's where this new proposed canal would begin, and then it would cross Israel, and it would terminate at the Mediterranean Sea. Importantly, this new proposed canal, which has been written about for many years, by the way, and it would reportedly cost anywhere between $16 and $55 billion to construct, but it would earn about $10 billion a year, so it would pay for itself in roughly 5 years or less. This new canal would allow two ships to pass each other in opposite directions, which means that ships would no longer have to wait on either side in order to traverse the canal, as they do with the Suez Canal. So the Suez Canal is not that deep, and it's not very wide. But the proposed canal, the Ben-Gurion Canal, would be 110 meters wide and an extra 10 meters deeper than the Suez Canal, which means that military craft could traverse it quite easily, as well as larger cargo ships. And most importantly, it would allow the United States and Israel to deny access to that canal to any of its political enemies or competitors. And it could threaten or weaponize access to that canal. It could threaten that against Middle Eastern nations to say, hey, if you want to export grain, if you want to export, you know, barrels of oil or whatever, then you need to go along with our policies. Otherwise, you will be denied access to that canal. So, again, this is something that needs to be considered. There may be a follow-the-money factor here. Yeah, there's a good map. And you see Gaza is right at the sort of southwestern portion there of Israel. It's right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, the southeastern portion of the Mediterranean Sea. And that dark blue line, for those of you watching, the dark blue line shows the proposed path of the canal. Now, one more thing you need to know is that the proposed construction of this canal would have to involve, or at least this was one of the proposals, it would involve over 500 nuclear detonations in Israel in order to excavate the mountains and the ground. 500 nuclear detonations, which seemingly would provide some nuclear fallout that might not make people happy, oh, I don't know, in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Turkey, the entire area. I mean, who wants 500 nuclear bombs going off just because these people want to build a canal? So obviously that would be very controversial, but if that canal is the plan, they've got to get Gazans out of the way. And that may be one of the reasons why they're bombing and bulldozing Gaza right now. It's up for you to decide. I just want you to consider this factor. This is a complex situation, but there are many factors. Now, stay with us. We'll be right back after 1 minute with Scott Ritter, straight ahead right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Please remember, we are listener-supported, and we've got something back in stock that everybody needs that is so good to have in your medicine cabinet, sports broadcast. We've got the best 30 parts per million colloidal silver out there. It's Silver Bullet. It's at InfoWarsStore.com. And if you want to support the show, plus have something in your medicine cabinet, have to give to others. It's topical. You can also take it orally. It really does a lot of amazing things, anti-infection, you name it. Nothing's a silver bullet, but it's as close to a silver bullet as you're going to get. Silver Bullet, back in stock, discounted, InfoWarsStore.com. And we also have Brain Force Ultra, the incredible fast-acting nootropic, back in stock, 60% off, part of the big sale. The new sale we've got. Immune support, organic green fibers, 50% off. Those are both incredible. Vitamin D3 gummies, amazing. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones with Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back. Mike Adams here, joining you from the Brighton Studios in Central Texas. And this is the Alex Jones Show, third hour today. And we're joined by former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter, who has done an enormous quantity of interviews analyzing the current situation. And I've probably listened to most of them, frankly. And Scott Ritter, he definitely ruffles some feathers, but it's refreshing to hear somebody who isn't self-censoring about his views and analysis, and his history makes him extremely well qualified to comment on this situation. I mean, extremely qualified. So welcome to the show, Mr. Ritter. It's an honor to have you on today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. And how many interviews do you do each day? I'm just curious because it seems like a lot.
I've actually been trying to cut back because I earn my living from writing, and when I'm doing interviews, I'm not writing. But today, I think you are the fourth interview today, and I have two more after this. So I'm not getting much writing done today.
No, apparently not. But you are getting some feather ruffling done for sure with some of your analysis. But let's start with that. I heard you say yesterday, I believe, with Redacted, that the show on YouTube with Clayton, I think I heard you say that Israel is carrying out the largest scale wholesale slaughter of civilians in our modern times, or at least that's a close paraphrase of what you said. Can we start there and your observations of what Israel is literally doing right now in Gaza?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that Gaza is a, some people have likened it to a prison, but the problem with that analogy is that prisoners have committed a crime. The only crime that the Palestinians of Gaza have committed is apparently being born in Gaza. It's the more accurate term would be concentration camp, and it's been an open-air concentration camp run by Israel on behalf of Israel since 1948. The current campaign that's being run by Israel has three aspects to it. The first aspect is the forcible relocation of over a million Palestinians from northern Gaza, the northern Gaza Strip, to the southern Gaza Strip. This is a war crime, first of all. Israel has no authority to do this. Let's just preface this entire conversation by noting that under international law, Israel is an occupier. The Palestinians are occupied, and the occupier has no inherent right of self-defense against anything the occupied do in opposition to the occupier. So everything Israel is doing is a war crime, just by definition, given their stance. Even if we, you don't buy into that, the forcible relocation of a million people under the threat of death, because that's what the Israelis have said. If you remain here, you will die. You will be treated as the enemy. This is collective punishment. This is indiscriminate targeting of civilians. It's a war crime. If the Israeli generals were ever put before a court of proper jurisdiction, they could spend the rest of their lives in jail for the crimes they are committing today, because they know they're committing crimes. They just operate as if they are above the law. So the forcible relocation of over a million people is the foundation of this crime. The second part of it is, of course, the indiscriminate bombardment of civilians, the collective punishment of the citizens of Gaza, the Palestinian civilians. The Israelis have a policy that they've been implementing since 2006. In 2006, Israel fought a short and ultimately losing war against Hezbollah. Part of the frustration that Israel manifested because they weren't able to defeat Hezbollah was to hold the Lebanese population accountable for Israel's inability to prevail on the battlefield. And they did so by indiscriminately bombing, leveling, destroying, annihilating entire neighborhoods. The Dahiwa doctrine comes that the name is of a suburb of West Beirut, which was flattened by Israel. Collective punishment. They didn't disguise it. They said, we're punishing the citizens of Lebanon for allowing Hezbollah to exist. Collective punishment. And they've been doing it ever since. Since 2008.
Go ahead. Let me jump in. Sorry to interrupt. Let me jump in. May I call you Scott for the remainder of this interview? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's my name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just to be a little less formal, but what, in your view, what would Israel's response, what could have Israel done in response to the October 7th Hamas attacks that would have been consistent with international humanitarian law and the Geneva Convention and so on? What should they or could they have done that would not be indiscriminate bombing and war crimes?
Well, the first thing is Israel should have been smart enough to know that they are walking into a Hamas trap, that Hamas was luring them into Gaza. The war is an extension of politics by other means. And, you know, what Hamas was doing was setting Israel up for failure, knowing that Israel would implement the Dahiwa doctrine, begin the indiscriminate bombing. What Israel should have done is secure the border and then turn to the United Nations through citing Article 51 and begin a debate in the United Nations. This would have been a very difficult debate for the United Nations to have, because there would have been those in the United Nations who would have said, like Russia has already argued, that Israel has no inherent right to self-defense because they are the occupiers, the Palestinians are the occupied. This is derived from a 2004 opinion of the International Justice Court, which dealt with the status of Israel vis-a-vis Gaza. But Israel would have had the moral strength with them of saying, we were just attacked. 1,400 Israelis are killed, many of them civilians. Don't play niceties with me, the United Nations. Don't sit here and play word games. What are you collectively going to do about this problem? And throw the issue onto the United Nations and create a debate that Hamas didn't want. Because remember, this is a political war. It's not a military war. This is not a war that's going to be won by scoring more deaths. In fact, Israel's insistence on punishing the Palestinian people have caused them to lose this political war because the world has turned against them. In the United States, the streets are filled not with protesters saying we are with Israel, but protesters saying we are with Palestine. If Israel had done what I just said, turn to the United Nations, cite Article 51, say, how are you collectively going to defend us from this attack? The streets today would be filled with protesters on the side of Israel, because Israel would have deserved to have been supported in that event. But that's not what they did. They chose the sword. You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
So you believe that Hamas had calculated that Israel's response would be overwhelmingly driven by rage, and that Israel would target intentionally civilians, which means that at some level, Hamas also predicted that their brothers and sisters, their Palestinian brothers and sisters, would be killed as part of this, and that would make the case of Israel's brutality? Do you think that level of awareness was pre-calculated by Hamas?
100%. Look, Hamas carried out one of the most effective, well-planned military operations in modern history. You can call it an act of terror. I wouldn't. It was a military operation. They took on the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, in a stand-up fight and beat them. They beat the 13th Battalion of the Golani Brigade. They beat the 51st Battalion of the Golani Brigade. They beat the 7th Armored Brigade. They beat the Special Forces of Israel. On October 7th, Hamas won a decisive military victory against Israel. It was a military victory, not an act of terrorism. Now, when we speak of the goal of luring Israel in, of course they did. Why do you take hostages and bring them back into Gaza and put them underground? Because you're challenging the Israelis to come in and go for them. When Israel has no plan, they knew Israel has no plan because Israel never, ever considered the possibility of a military attack from Hamas out of Gaza of this scope and scale. Israel had no contingency planning. Everything they're doing right now is being made up on the spot, and it's revenge-oriented, and Hamas knew that. Hamas knew that the Dahiwa Doctrine would be implemented in full. Now, you can say that that's very callous, but I'll offer this from history.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
In a world where financial landscapes can change rapidly, safeguarding your savings and retirement accounts is paramount. Direct Bullion USA is more than just the number one rated gold bullion dealer in America. We're your trusted partner in navigating the uncertainties of hyperinflation and political upheaval around the world. Direct Bullion USA can provide you with the knowledge and resources to fortify your financial stability and protect what matters most. Call us now at 888-787-GOLD. Precious metals like gold and silver
silver have been a safe haven investment for hundreds of years. Get started when you call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold investing starter kit today. All it takes is one call to 888-787-GOLD. Take control of your retirement and protect your future with Direct Bullion USA. Call 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
I believe they made a number of mistakes, but the one thing they didn't do, and I will never accuse them of doing, is callously allowing Hamas to carry out an attack of this scope and scale for political gain. No, I reject that.
Okay.
This is 100%.
Thank you for answering that, and I strongly respect your views on this and your analysis. So that means, as I've heard you say in other interviews, that then Hamas defeated, they militarily defeated the IDF on that day, which shows, and I believe I've heard you say this, that, you know, the Zionists are not superhuman, right? That they can be, I don't even want to say the word, I mean, they can be defeated as well as any other human being on this planet, and that some of what the Zionists tell themselves or tell the soldiers, and I'm not saying that all Israelis are Zionists by any means, but they tell themselves that they are superior, and is that giving them a false sense of competence that is perhaps not actually deserved? And are we seeing some of that in Gaza right now with the casualties of IDF soldiers and some of the armor that's being taken out point-blank range by Hamas fighters with very few weapons?
Just a couple things. First, let me back up just a second and talk about civilian casualties real quick. On October 7th, there were three distinct civilian casualty-producing events. The first is the military assault carried out by Hamas against the Gaza barrier, military barrier. The military barrier around Gaza consists of a wall, other barriers, and then a series of military installations interposed with kibbutz, the civilian. But the civilian neighborhoods are militarized. Please don't view them as mom-pa's little village in Iowa where they go out and they milk the cows every morning. These are militarized facilities manned by settlers who are armed. They are an integral part of the barrier around Gaza. They provide basing infrastructure, logistical infrastructure for the military bases. So when Hamas launches attack, piercing the fence, I believe 17 to 24 distinct locations, they pushed in. And when they move into a kibbutz, they view the kibbutz as a military object. And so, remember, there are defense forces in each kibbutz. Some of these defense forces mobilized and were able to repel the Hamas attack. So to pretend that these are innocent, defenseless civilians is absurd, because the evidence shows that when the civilians had a chance to get their weapons, go to their duty positions, they repelled the Hamas attack. So you're assaulting a kibbutz knowing there's a defense force there. You have to come in hard, fast, and you have to carry out your objectives of suppressing that. So you assault the homes where the armed people could leave, and some people got killed. There's no doubt about that. Were civilians caught up in the crossfire? Absolutely. But this is not targeted assassination. This is a military assault against a military position where civilians were caught in the middle. Now, the second kind of assault, once Hamas pierced you're looking at the robotic cannons there. Once Hamas pierced this defense line and moved on to their objectives, the holes in the fence were still there. And what came through that is a second wave and a third wave of non-Hamas armed militants. These are other Palestinian groups who were not part of the Hamas planning. These were other Palestinians who had weapons, who had a grudge against the Israelis, and they came through. These people, I believe, carried out the majority of the crimes against civilians. These people came in with revenge in mind. These people were the ones who shot the civilians indiscriminately, etc. So that's the second level of violence. But the vast majority of the Israelis killed were from the third level of violence, and that is the Israeli defense response, which was haphazard and heavy-handed. We know for a fact that in one of the kibbutzes, a lady has said, I was with 20 people who were held hostage by 8 Hamas fighters. The IDF came in and Hamas wanted to negotiate the surrender of the hostages and them. The IDF opened fire, killing 8 hostages and 18 Israeli civilians. One was left wounded, one survived. The head of security of the kibbutz says the IDF came in and indiscriminately fired at the open-air concert. Majority of the people were killed by a crossfire between Hamas and Israeli security. This is the third level of violence that Israel does not want to talk about, because to talk about it will further shine light on the incompetence of the Israeli Defense Forces.
But that's consistent with the way Israel is treating Palestinian civilians. And we've seen Israeli officials say that even that there are no real Palestinian civilians. They're all treated as enemy combatants, even if they're cancer patients in a cancer hospital or a pregnant woman or a child or a refugee, you know, a wounded refugee. They're all treated as combatants. But to think that Israel would do that to its own citizens in order to increase the body count of the, you know, the number of Israelis killed on that day, that is that's a horrifying thought.
I'm not saying they did it to increase the body count. I'm not saying that an Israeli general said, oh, there's only 600 dead people. Let's kill another 800 so we have a big number. What I'm saying is the Israelis were panicked that day. Literally, if you look at the stories of the response, a brigade commander's at home because it was Yom Kippur. He gets a phone call that the Hamas is over the wire. He gets in his vehicle. He drives towards the front line. He stops at a truck stop, picks up two soldiers. He stops at a base. It's chaos. He grabs people, puts them in a truck, and he rushes to the sound of gunfire, and he's panicked. He sees people moving. He doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't have normal command and control, and so when there's a fight, when there's a problem, they address it with gunfire, and there's no care for sussing out the problem. They didn't say, who's in that building? What's going on? They simply said, Hamas, fire, take it. And many of the people they killed weren't Hamas. The majority of the casualties were these bumbling idiot Gazans with their guns running around having a party, and suddenly the IDF shows up and they get in a firefight with these guys, but they're the ones that are intermingled with the Israeli civilians. They slaughtered hundreds of Israelis that day. The IDF slaughtered them.
Okay. This is horrifying. All of this violence. I know that you would like to see a de-escalation of this as I would. None of us want to see this violence taking place. Scott, before we go to break here, give us your website or how people can follow your interviews and writings.
I put it all under scottritterextra.com. So if you go to scottritterextra.com, that's my Substack. And there's also up there you can find links to the various podcasts that I do, my own. And then if I'm invited by other people, I always put a link up there. And so scottritterextra.com is the best place to go to.
Okay, got it. ScottRitterExtra.com. We've got about a minute left, and I want to get your take on the fact that a high-level Israeli official, the cultural minister, recently suggested the possibility of nuking Gaza. He was then suspended by Netanyahu. But quickly, is this a confirmation in your view that Israel absolutely does have nukes? I mean, I think the world knows that, but what do you make from that comment?
Well, I've read that comment. I've looked at it very closely. He said nuclear-like, and already you've had people say, for instance, Eva Bartlett, who's a pro-Palestinian journalist, has likened the amount of bombs dropped by Israel on Gaza to a Hiroshima-like event. You know, a 12-kiloton weapon, 12,000 tons of high explosive. Israel's already dropped over 20 tons, so nearly 2 atomic bomb equivalents. So people have said that without alluding to the actual use of a nuclear weapon. He is responding to a comment made by a reporter. He didn't initiate the nuclear thing.
Sorry to cut you off, Scott. We've got to go to break. Stay with us. We'll be right back with former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter.
Finally, after close to a year, in early November, where I'm cutting this ad, we finally got one of our flagship products back in stock, Ultra 12, the highest quality vitamin B12 organic. You take it under the tongue so you get better absorption into the body through your blood vessels. And what it does, to every system in your body is simply incredible. It's the natural, clean energy, focus, immune system, everything. And it's 40% off exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. This has been rated as the best B12 in the country. It's available from a top lab that we private label it through at InfoWarsStore.com. Ultra 12, vitamin B12, taken sublingually, now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Or you can call toll-free and order it as well, 888-253-3139. And Ultra 12 funds the InfoWar as well.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here, joining you from the Brighteon Studios in Central Texas, here on the Alex Jones Show. The second half of the third hour, and we continue with former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter at scottritterextra.com. And real quick, before we go to Scott, I just want to mention the current sale on the Ultra 12, which is the vitamin B12 product at InfoWarsStore.com. That is made with methylcobalamin, and that is the form of B12 that I take and that I recommend as, you know, a nutritionist and a food scientist. That's actually my background, not so much geopolitics. But we are continuing with our geopolitical analysis with Scott Ritter. Now, Scott,
Here's a question that I pose to people. A lot of people like to take sides on this. Obviously, you hear people, oh, I'm pro-Israel. And I ask them, well, what does that mean? Do you support everything that Israel is doing? Or other people say, oh, I'm pro-Palestine. And, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you support everything Hamas is doing? And I tend to ask people, hey, if some Hamas fighters were found hiding out in New York City, would you support the mass carpet bombing of New York City? And would you tell the people, you know, who died there, it's your fault you didn't evacuate. We dropped leaflets. We told you, get out of New York City. We're going to bomb the hospitals. We're going to bomb the universities. We're going to bomb the residential apartments to get those Hamas people and any, you know, any civilians. Well, it's their own fault for being there, because that's exactly what we're hearing in defense of Israel's actions in Gaza. Does that sound about right of what we're hearing, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely indiscriminate what's going on. Look, we've had situations. We've had the Symbionese Liberation Army. We've had the Weathermen. We've had we Black Panthers. We have a history of domestic terrorists. This is a police action. It's a law enforcement action in the United States. We've never though had a problem like Hamas. Hamas is first of all, Hamas wouldn't be hiding in New York City if we want to make the analogy. Hamas is New York City, meaning that what Hamas has done is they are the government of New York. It's like the mayor. The mayor of New York City is Hamas, and he has he considers New York City to be occupied by the United States, and so he's at war with the United States. And what he's done to protect his government and his police force is that he's put them underground in the subway system. They dug even deeper tunnels, and they're underground. That's preventing being hit. And so now they're in the New York subway system. They're underground, and they're fed up. So they sortie out into New Jersey, and they go over the bridge. They take out Fort Lee. They take out some other places. They go down to Atlantic City and mess up the casinos, and they go up to Mahwah, and they take hostages, and they come back with a bunch of James Gandolfini type New Jersey mafia types that they've taken hostage, and they have them down in the subway system, and they're telling everybody else, come and get them, come and get them. And so now we come into New York City. We know they're in the subway system, but what we opt to do is take down the World Trade Center. We opt to take down the Empire State Building. We take down Macy's. We take down Times Square. We take down anything that has nothing to do with the subway system and everything to do with just punishing the people of New York. That would be a more accurate analogy.
I see. Wow. Wow. And, on top of that, don't forget, Mayor Eric Adams has said that New York City may not survive the influx of illegals that are coming. And then we're seeing now many leftists in Congress saying that we should take on the Palestinian refugees that are fleeing Gaza, a million of them. And people who are more conservative are saying, no way, we already have too much of a migrant crisis, especially in places like New York City right now. But what's your assessment of the real risk of extremism of some of those illegals in the United States? Or maybe they were stable before, but now because of these current events, they are easily recruited into extremist acts in America. Do you think that's a real risk?
Look, you always have to be, first of all, every nation has to be in control of its borders and has to be in control of its immigration policies. You can't make a definitive statement about a risk assessment if you don't know what the problem is, if you don't know who you've allowed in. In the past, look, my wife is an immigrant. She's from the former Soviet Union, from Georgia. She came here legally. She was vetted. They knew who she was, and there was a good reason to believe that she would assimilate into America. We are a melting pot. Not a single one of us, unless you're a Native American Indian, can say, I'm from this area. We all came from someplace else, and our grandparents, our great-grandparents, somewhere along the line, they came in and were absorbed and were expected to assimilate into what America is. And we don't know how to define America because, I mean, if you go up to Minnesota, they have, a different immigration base. If you go down to Arizona, a different immigration base. But they all call themselves Americans. We believe in the Constitution, the rule of law, things of that nature. So I'm not afraid of people who come in seeking to become part of America. If your goal is to come to America,
And even if your goal is done illegally, I mean, I have sympathy for the illegal immigrant who says, I want a better life. Come in. But the problem is, if you don't control this system, there are some very bad actors out there who will take advantage of the lack of certainty, the lack of security to infiltrate people in. Now, do I want to condemn all illegal immigrants? No. But we do have to understand that there is the potential of this. And but see, these people would have been radicalized before they came in. I'm not worried, to be honest, about the Palestinian-American community becoming radicalized by what's going on today. In fact, I think the Palestinian-American community is becoming empowered by what's going on today because for the first time, they see the potential of the creation of a Palestinian state. That's why they're in the streets demonstrating the ultimate expression of American free speech, freedom of association, freedom to speak. They're not blowing up buses. They're not blowing up restaurants. They're demonstrating, saying we are advocating on behalf of this issue. And whether you agree with them or not, it's the quintessential American way of doing business.
Okay. To add to that, and thank you for that answer, my wife is also an immigrant, by the way, legal immigrant, been an American citizen for 30 years at this point, but an immigrant from Taiwan, so I completely agree with you. Many of the best Americans that I know are legal immigrants, by the way. I mean, because they get it. Many of them, I know people who came from, let's say, Iraq, and they lived through hell. They lived through Christians being murdered, executed for their beliefs, and they came to America, and they understand the American spirit, and now they're Iraqi Americans who are,
Real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
You know what your wife and my wife have in common?
And that
differentiates them from the majority of native-born Americans? They had to take a test on the U.S. Constitution to become citizens.
True.
The Constitution better than the vast majority of Americans who were born into the system but don't understand that which defines us. So God bless your wife. God bless my wife. God bless every immigrant who comes and becomes a naturalized citizen, and they know what it means to be an American more than many Americans born. Because unless
I would challenge this,
the test your wife took, I challenge your audience right now, the audience listening, be honest with yourself. Go take the test, the constitutional test, to become an American citizen. Take it. Don't cheat. Don't Google the answers. Take it. 98% of you will fail. 98% of you will fail.
You're probably right about that. And also, of course, you have to take the test in English, or at least my wife did, which means you have to have some mastery of the English language. But look, we're about to go to break. Stay with us, Scott. On the other side, I want to ask your detailed analysis of the risk of escalation into a much wider regional war. I want to ask your opinion of, can Iran be provoked? Because we see Senator Lindsey Graham clearly wants to provoke Iran to give justification for the U.S. to strike Iran. And also Turkey, of course. We've got to talk about Turkey. I'd like your bigger picture analysis of all of that when we return. And I really appreciate your time here. I know that, you know, a lot of what you say is controversial. I want to remind the audience that this platform is a free speech platform and that our audience may or may not agree with everything you've said, but we believe in your right to say it. And I think that you are operating in the interest of overall peace. So please stay with us, Scott. We'll be right back after this break with those questions straight ahead.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams here, guest hosting today. This is our final segment with UN Weapons Inspector, or former UN Weapons Inspector, Scott Ritter. And his website is scottritterextra.com, and he does a lot of interviews, and he's also an author and, of course, geopolitical analyst. Now, Scott, I asked you before the break for your take. I'll just turn it right over to you. What is the risk of escalation that would bring this to a regional war that would, you know, provoke Iran or Turkey or Syria or other nations to get kinetically involved?
Well, this is a very dangerous situation, and the reason is because Israel is panicked right now. You know, Israel has for several years now considered this very scenario. What would happen if all of our enemies attacked us at once? Last year they did an exercise called Chariots of Fire. This year they did an exercise called Firm Hand. Both exercises were done with the support of the United States in terms of counter-Iranian operations, because Israel learned from these exercises that they cannot take on Iran by themselves, that if they're going to fight Iran, the United States must be involved. Bad news for Israel is that neither Israel nor the United States, isolated or together, can provide the kind of immediate strategic defeat of Iran that would preclude an Iranian attack that would devastate Israel, destroy Israel. And so Israel knows what the consequences are. They also know that Hezbollah, if they become engaged, has 200,000 rockets, 200,000. 100,000 are unguided. They'd saturate Israel in the first 3 or 4 days exhausting the Iron Dome system, forcing them to use up all of their ammunition. And then the final 100,000 are precision-guided rockets that would destroy every target in Israel. There's not 100,000 targets in Israel, but they would destroy the industrial, the military, the political infrastructure of Israel. This is a reality. Hamas troops, 50 to 80,000 of them, are combat-hardened, well-trained. They have tunnels that will take them into northern Israel. And if Hamas engages decisively, there's a risk that Israel would lose northern Israel up to the Sea of Galilee.
Are you talking about Hezbollah?
Hezbollah. Okay. Hezbollah.
Go ahead.
Israel knows. But here's the good news in all of this. The good news is that Hamas did this by themselves. Hamas did not plan with Hezbollah. They did not plan with Iran. That this took Hezbollah and Iran by surprise. Hassan Nasrallah admits this. He gave a major speech last Friday where he said, we had no clue that this was happening. And it is, you know, we have been trying to come up with an adequate response. We reached out to our Hamas brothers to say, what do you want from us? And you know what Hamas told them? Nothing. Don't do anything. We're in control. We have a plan. The plan is being implemented exactly the way we want it, because Hamas's goals and objectives in this are not the physical destruction of Israel, but the creation of the political opportunity for the creation of a Palestinian state. For the first time in a long time, the world is talking about the potential of creating a Palestinian state. This is because of what Hamas did. Hamas wants 5,000 or more Palestinian prisoners who have been taken by the Israelis without due process, without charges, just put in prison, and they're held there indefinitely. They want them released. This is why they took the hostages, to exchange them for 5,000. Israel's been taking Palestinian hostages on a daily basis. There's over 130 kids, Palestinian kids, in Israeli jail right now for crime of what? Throwing a rock? Giving an Israeli soldier a dirty look? You know, this is insane. So that's what Hamas. And then the last thing is, Hamas wants, and this should resonate with your audience, because I understand that your audience, many of them are fundamentalist Christians. They're good Christians. They believe in Christ, and they understand what a holy site is. They understand what sites of religious importance are. The third holiest site in Islam is the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. It's the third holiest site, and Israel desecrates it on a daily basis. Israel goes into the mosque and interferes with the worshipers. Israel has gone into the women's section and beat up the female worshipers, because they worship separately, the women and the men. They've gone in and arrested men inside. They've terrorized people. They've thrown tear gas into the third most holiest site in Islam. Hamas wants that to end. They want guarantees so that Al-Aqsa can be treated with the sanctity that a religious site of this level requires. So Hamas did it on their own. Hezbollah and Iran, they don't want this. Remember, Hezbollah is a political party. Lebanon is a nation recovering from a tremendous political and economic crisis. Hezbollah is a political party that's dedicated to helping Lebanon rise up from the ashes. They are politically committed to good governance in Lebanon. The last thing they want is a war with Israel. That would destroy everything, because Israel once again bombed Lebanon. Iran, for generations now, has been under American sanctions, strangling sanctions. For the first time in a long time, Iran has the prospects of peaceful coexistence. China just brokered a rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They're no longer enemies. They're working together. Iran joined BRICS. Iran joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Iran is standing up and taking its own position in the world as an economic power. The last thing they need is a war. So Iran and Hezbollah do not want this escalation. But there is a danger, because Israel is so insecure that Israel may very well lash out against Hezbollah in a way that causes this problem to explode. So Hassan Nasrallah, in his speech, said his job is escalation management.
Yeah, right. Escalation management. Because, and I think you've spoken about this in other interviews, it seems like the BRICS nations are winning the long game anyway. They're going to win the de-dollarization game, because so many nations, you know, because the U.S. has weaponized the dollar, especially with cutting off Russia from the SWIFT system and then printing money and using money to send weapons to Ukraine and now to Israel. It seems like the BRICS nations know that if they can just hold out another year or two the dollar loses so much value that the Western nations are unable to meaningfully print enough value or even to keep up with munitions production that would be necessary to fight a war with the U.S. sending weapons to Israel. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a sound assessment. Let's put it this way also to add to that. Again, because Israel has gone in heavy-handed into Gaza, no one is speaking out in support of Israel besides the United States and a handful of European countries. The entire world has spoken out against Israel. The collective South, the BRICS nations, the developing nations, the G20 nations have spoken out. This accelerates the economic demise of the United States because we are linked to Israel. Israel is being further isolated. We are being isolated with them. We are becoming weaker every day we support Israel. Now, I'm not saying that we abandon Israel. There are many people out there who believe that we should be Israel's friend. But, you know, you guys all know this. You go to a bar on Friday night and you got a really good friend out there, but he's drunk. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. You have to, if he gets in the car, turns on the engine, you have to reach in there and turn the keys off, take the keys away, and say, no, you don't get to behave in a suicidal manner. If you're the friends of Israel, we have an obligation to do what's good for our friend and for us. We don't let friends drive drunk. Right now, Israel is a nation drunk on arrogance, drunk on revenge. We have to get the keys out of that ignition.
Are you saying we should cut off funding to Israel?
Well, first I'd start off by telling Israel that the United States can't support policy X, Y, and Z. And if Israel refuses, then I would tell them, then you won't get weapons A, B, and C. We have to start leveraging what we can. Israel has taken America for granted too long. They've controlled Congress too long. Their policies have not been questioned by Americans for too long. It's time that we start holding Israel accountable as being a separate sovereign state. They are not an extension of the United States.
Blinken has no credibility in the Middle East. You know, everywhere Blinken goes, they disrespect him. I mean, America has lost its geopolitical weight in the region, it seems to me.
You're correct, but we could regain it simply by telling Israel that we provided you 2,000-pound JDAM bombs to protect yourself against Hezbollah and Iran. If you drop another 2,000-pound JDAM bomb on Gaza, we will, A, demand all the weapons that we've given you to be returned, and if you don't return them, you'll never see another weapon again. Not only that, we'll force AIPAC to register as foreign agents. We'll start treating you as a hostile nation, however you want to play this, Israel. Because I would remind the Israelis, A, you don't own us. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu brags about how he owns the U.S. Congress. And indeed, when the current Speaker of the House, the first thing he did, he didn't come out and say, I'm going to help the homeless, I'm going to help this, I'm going to help that, I'm going to help America.
No,
the first thing he said,
he's going to help Israel.
I'm going to get money for Israel. What the heck is wrong with that picture? If you're an American, that should disgust you. And it disgusts me. We have to tell the Israelis that while we're your friends, you are not of us. You are not one of us. You're not the 51st state. We are not the same. And our national security.
We've got to cut it off there. We've got to wrap it up there, Scott. I apologize. But the website for Scott Ritter, folks, is scottritterextra.com. Scott, I want to thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts with us today. It's been a really intriguing conversation.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you don't get in too much trouble.
Well, you as well, probably. we'll see. But thank you for joining us today here on the Alex Jones Show Free Speech Platform. I'm Mike Adams. I enjoyed hosting you today, and stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.